take this opportunity to recognize our fathers, all right? We're not doing it in the conventional way as we usually do. But if you are a father today in this building, would you please stand at this time? If you're a father, would you please stand and remain standing? And you ladies and wives, give these men a hand this morning. Hey, I give you a hand. We appreciate you guys. And in just a few moments, do we know who our deacon who is praying today is? Okay, I guess I will be that deacon who prays today. But I will pray especially for our fathers in just a few moments. We just want to wish you a very happy Father's Day and say that you are loved, and we appreciate you very, very much. You people who are out there who have fathers, you may be a father, but you have a father still living. You treat that man with great love and respect today and let him know how much you love him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning as we especially lift up our fathers this morning before our holy God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time that we can come together. And first of all, God, as we've begun this service today, God, that we can bless you, that we can praise you, that we can sing about your mercies and your grace and just give you glory. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for being our Father. And Lord, we just praise you for this time to meet together. I pray that you would touch us, Lord God. I pray that you would anoint us. I pray that you would help us. I pray that you would bless the fathers who are gathered today, God, because, God, it is our desire to be a father like you are. Father, I pray that we would, Father, seek after that and that you would make us what we need to be as your people, God, and especially as fathers. As leaders in this church, God, bless these men today. Thank you for the fathers that have gone on to be with you. Thank you for their great example that they set. Father, I pray that you would just bless the position of fatherhood, God. It is definitely under attack in our nation. God, it has been for a while. Satan would like nothing better than to see it destroyed. But God, we just ask that you would enhance it, that you would heal it, that you would help it. And I pray that we would be fathers who love you, Lord God, and who give you the glory. Again, bless these men today. Help us all to have a great Father's Day, because we know that most of all, it is your day. And you are our Father, and we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Stop.
This is Father's Day. We're going to sing about our Heavenly Father. This is My Father's World, 43 in the hymnal. Stand together as we sing.
Thank you.
About fathers, faith of our fathers.
Well, I want you to take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 14 on this Father's Day 2020. Who would have ever thought that our Father's Day 2020 would have been as we are with all the things that we're trying to do in social distancing and having services as we do, just an unprecedented time. But still, happy Father's Day. And I hope that we realize that today is more than anything else the Lord's Day as we worship Him in spirit and in truth. Thank you, Miss Dot, for that responsive reading, for the singing, for the piano playing, Lorna, and just appropriate for today as we worship God on this very special day. Please stand with your Bibles open to that particular passage, John 14. The words will also be on your screen. I'll be reading verses 6 through 12 of John chapter 14. 14. Father, we thank You for this great day, and we ask that You would help us, God, to tune our hearts into what You would have to say to us. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit would say through Your blessed, inerrant, inspired, infallible, all-sufficient, gracious, glorious Word. And I pray that You would revive those who need revival. God, wake Your church up, God, and I pray that You would save the lost all around us, God, whether they're here today or somewhere else. God, save everywhere, God, people. Help us to be Your witnesses, God, and we'll give You the praise, God. Touch us now. Prepare our hearts to receive this incorruptible seed, this wonderful scripture, this truth that we need from You. In Jesus' name, amen. John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, as He speaks to Thomas, as He has asked the question, how can we know the way? Jesus said, I am the way. Think about that for just a moment. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. If ye had known Me, ye should have known My Father also. and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, he chimes in, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Today's message on this Father's Day 2020 is, he is his Father's son. You may be seated. A chip off the old block. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree. You've heard those sayings and those kinds of sayings. I guess in my case, in regard to a chip off the old block, it would be a block off the old chip, because my boys are usually taller and bigger than I am. So a block off the old chip, I guess you would say. But sayings like that, as well as our title today, he is his Father's son, means this. Hey, boy, you're just like your daddy. Now, sometimes daughters are the same. Sometimes, even through their looks and their actions and their mannerisms and their voice, etc., they are like their father, like their daddy. And there's good reason for that, because they belong to their father. They came from their father. We were blessed this week with some boys from Eatonton, Georgia, who came up to visit with us. They're the sons of the pastor of Crossroads Baptist Church down there, which is where Josh used to be an associate pastor before he came up here to Woodland. But John McMillan is the pastor there, and his boys, they came to see us, along with another guy from down there. Three of them were here earlier, and then we still have Jake with us. But Josh, and they all look like their parents, of course, but Josh, one of those boys, Josh McMillan, he looks like, and I told him this, his daddy just spit him out, you know. He looks just like his dad. I mean, it's just funny how sometimes children look like their parents, especially their fathers. I guess sometimes we've been accused that my boys have been accused of looking somewhat like me. I don't know if that's the case or not. I can see that sometime looking back at maybe some old pictures that maybe that might be the case. Some of them may be like me. And that's bad enough, but I cringe at the thought of them acting like me, you know. But you know what? I think they do, don't they, honey, a little bit? Maybe Joshua especially, with his crazy sense of humor. That is the case sometimes. Daughters and sons sometimes really look like and act like their father. But you know, some fathers are worth being like. Are they not? My daddy, Fred Frazier, he was a nut. I know you can't believe that, but yeah, he was a nut. He was a gospel singer. He led the music in our church for 40-something years or more. A wonderful man. He got saved before I was born. And all I knew was a man of God in my father. And I was very thankful for that, very thankful for that. He was a man that was as faithful to the church as any person I've ever known in my whole life. He was there every time the door was open. And so that's how I'm so familiar with the church house, one way at least, in my early days. He took me to church, and Mama did too, and they were there. And my daddy was very loving. He focused on love. He was all about love. And so he was a very loving man. So some fathers are really worth being like. I want to tell you, men, today, that, and ladies and boys and girls too, I want to be a man like that. I want to be a man or father that's worth being like. And I hope you do too. I really hope you do. And I believe that you do. A father worth being like. Now, if we were to make a list of great fathers, who would be at the top? Well, obviously. Steve, you would? Okay. Steve Carr puts his hand up. Yeah, he'd be at the top. But, huh? He's pointing up. Oh, I see, brother. I got you, brother. Good answer. Good answer. You redeemed yourself. Good job. No, I knew what you meant, brother. And Steve is right. It would be our father. It would be the ultimate father. He would be, of course, above all. And he is above all. And Jesus speaks to that in John chapter 14 there in his earthly ministry. Jesus refers to, as he refers to his father, he refers to the first person as we know him to be from studying the scriptures, the first person of the divine triune Godhead, the first person of the Trinity. We refer to our God as being a Trinity or triune. We refer to, say it with me, the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. And we know that He is one God, of course. The Old Testament certainly points that out. The New Testament gives more detail about God as it presents Him as one God in three persons. He is the one and the only Heavenly Father. And Jesus, elsewhere in his earthly ministry, taught us to pray to him. Our Father, which art in heaven, he teaches us to appeal to the Father. Now, this ultimate Father sent the ultimate Son. Again, according to John 3:16, Jesus said it, for God the Father loved the world so much, not that we deserved for Him to love us, that He gave. In other words, He sent His only begotten Son, the Son of God, who became the Son of Man. And Jesus Christ, of course, came voluntarily. And this Jesus, who was fully God, fully man, the Son of God and the Son of Man, spoke of this Heavenly Father again there in John chapter 14. Jesus is here having a conversation about his Father with his disciples. Again, the Son of God becoming the Son of Man, having a conversation with the people of God. Beautiful picture. Think about what we see here. Jesus teaching them. Them being somewhat confused and still not altogether understanding of all that they should understand. That reminds me of us. We're not there yet either, are we? We're still learning and growing. But a beautiful picture. The ultimate Father then sent the ultimate Son so that ultimately we, praise God, we would become God's children. Are you thankful for that today? Are you thankful that you are God's child? You know, some folks say that all of the world are God's children. Biblically, theologically speaking, that's not so. We're all His creation. We are all created in the image of God. In the Garden of Eden, when man fell from his position of innocence, the image was marred, of course. But I do not believe that we no longer have the image of God. I think we are still in the image of God. All people are in the image of God. Red, yellow, black, and white. In the image of God. But all people are not God's children. We're not all part of the kingdom of God. We're not all part, or people are not all part of the family of God. As a matter of fact, the majority of the people in this world are not. And that's a sad situation. But the ultimate Father sent the ultimate Son so that ultimately we would become God's children, sons and daughters of the Creator of all and Savior of those who are redeemed. If you have your Bible still open there to John chapter 14, follow along with me as we look at a few of those verses prior to the passage we just read. They won't be on your screen, but listen to these words. Jesus is talking here, and it's a very familiar verse of Scripture here, John 14, verse 1. He says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." This is what he said next. "In my Father's house are many mansions," many rooms, many places, right? "If it were not so, I would have told you." I like that. Jesus just makes it clear, this is truth. If it weren't, I would have told you. I'm telling you the truth. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. Somebody say hallelujah right there.
Hallelujah.
Here again, we are reminded that we're God's children and that we have a blessed hope in regard to our future. One day we get to go and spend eternity with our Heavenly Father. We get to spend eternity with God Almighty. We get to spend eternity with loved ones who have gone on to be with Him. We get to spend eternity in the kingdom of God with the people of God forever. And folks, if that's not something to shout about, I don't know what is. Amen?
Amen.
I just think we need one of Carol Ann's cougar yells. Give me one there, Carol. There you go. That's a good one. We needed a cougar yell on that one. Amen. I appreciate Carol Ann. I appreciate her. We need that. We need to get excited. Do you think that heaven's going to be as quiet as some Baptist churches are? Good gracious. Can you imagine how far from heaven that a lot of churches are today in a normal worship service? But do you not know that we should try to be as much like heaven as we possibly can when we come together?
Amen.
And praise God and have just a good time in the Lord? Well, we're going to go there one day. And I thank God that Jesus Christ said, I've gone to prepare a place for you. And this is what he said in verse 3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, Brother Eddie just alluded to it, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, ye may be, there ye may be also. I'm so glad that Jesus Christ is one day going to come back to get his church.
Amen.
Why? Because his church, the ecclesia, the called out ones, are not just a bunch of people that he set aside, but a bunch of people that he has brought into the kingdom of God as the children of God and the family of God. And there's a familial thing going on here, not just a grouping, not just a gang, not just a bunch of folks that have been blessed, but people that are the children of God. We're gonna go with Jesus as he comes to get us. We are the children of God, and I'm very thankful this morning that we are, because of what Jesus did for us. In John chapter 20, verse 17, moving way ahead now. You don't have to go there if you don't want to, but just listen to these words. You can if you want to. But in John chapter 20, verse 17, we're reading here about the resurrection. We fast forward from Jesus speaking here in his earthly ministry to after he has resurrected and he's speaking to Mary. In verse 17 of John 20, he says, touch me not, for I'm not yet ascended. Listen to what he said. I wanted you to look at this verse to get this. I've not ascended yet to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. After Jesus was resurrected, what happened on the cross of Calvary was that his spirit separated from his body like ours will when we die. He went to be with the Father, but on the third day, praise God, his spirit was reunited with his body, because he was a man. He became a man. He had a body and a spirit. His spirit came back to reunite with his body, and it was raised from the dead, and it obviously was a glorified body, which is what we're going to receive one day, Brother Denton. I'm thankful for that. Hallelujah to God. So he is in this glorified body, and he is there, and he says, touch me not. He doesn't necessarily mean don't touch me. He means don't try to hold on to me, because I'm not going to stay here. In 40 days, he didn't say it like this, but this is what happened. I'm going to ascend to my Father. And of course, that happened. He ascended to his Father. His disciples were standing there looking like the darlings on Andy Griffith with their mouths open. And the angel said, he's coming back. I mean, can you just imagine? I'm sure those angels say, those human beings are so crazy. They're just ignorant, you know. And we are, aren't we? He's coming back. As he ascends, they watch him go. But Jesus said, I've not done that yet, Mary. So, hey, I'm not here to stay. I'm going to send the Spirit of God. He didn't say it like this, but he did. Sent the Spirit of God. The church was born 50 days after that. The day of his resurrection. But I want you to see this. Jesus was saying to this disciple, to Mary, he was saying, I'm going to go to my Father and go tell my brothers because He is more than ever. Now, not just my Father, but He's your Father and He's your God. You have a personal relationship through me, Jesus, in essence, was saying, with the Heavenly Father. Now, beloved, I want to tell you something. That right there is worth celebrating. Amen. That's why we come together every Sunday, because it's the Lord's Day and we celebrate the fact that we are God's children. We regardless of what day of the week it is, we have something great to celebrate. We celebrate Father's Day once a year. But actually, we can celebrate it every day of the year because we have a Heavenly Father that has given us eternal life and given us a promise and is with us even now. Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He is in us, with us and in us, in the person of the Holy Spirit, the third person of the divine Trinity. And we know that one day, as we live for Him daily, we'll go to be with Him forever. And that is always worth celebrating. Hey, He, Jesus Christ, is His Father's Son. Amen. So what do we see about this? What do we see about Jesus that makes us think this? After all, he told Philip in verse 9, he said, if you've seen the Father, you've seen who? Me. If you've seen the Father, you've seen me. We look just alike. I'm my Father's Son. And so what do we see there in this conversation from Jesus that makes us think that He is His Father's Son? Three things. Because number one, He was the way to the Father. In verse 6, Jesus says to Thomas, who of course was a person that obviously had some doubt. We refer to him often as what? Yeah, doubting Thomas. You know, actually, he's probably no worse than we are sometimes. We all have questions, and that's not bad, but sometimes we do doubt. Sometimes we do go astray from God, and we lose heart. Things happen with Christians. Thomas was obviously a skeptical person. We see that later on when he speaks to Jesus about, or the disciples about Jesus being the Messiah and being dead, buried, and resurrected, and he wanted to touch his scars, and of course he did, and his heart broke before God. We know that Thomas, you know, had some questions. And so in an answer to Thomas there in verse 6, Jesus said these words, and of course we know them, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one goes to the Father, comes to the Father, except through me. That, of course, is one of those great I am statements that Jesus gives during His earthly ministry. I am the way, the truth, and the life. You see, He showed His disciples, as He shows us in Scripture, the way to the Father. And then He, of course, takes us to the Father, and He was and is the way to the Father. And one day He will come, and all of that will come to fruition when He rescues us from this globe, when He takes us to be with the Heavenly Father. And it's only through Him. And the thing about this verse that we should not miss and must not miss is its exclusivity. It is one of those exclusive statements about the Lordship of Christ. It is one of those exclusive statements about God being the one true and only God. Now, you can talk about God and you can even share the gospel with people so far. But when you get to the part of the gospel, including the exclusivity of God, that He's the only one, no one else, no other religion, no other God, they don't exist, then you become very offensive to the world, especially today. The world today certainly doesn't want to hear that kind of intolerant message. But that's what the gospel is. It's a message of absolute intolerance. Doesn't tolerate any other way. Doesn't propagate any other way. It claims to be the only way. It claims that God is the only Father. It claims that Jesus Christ is who He says He is. It claims that the Holy Spirit is what the Word says He is. It makes that claim that God is the one truly and only God and there is no other. It makes that claim, and it's very offensive to the world. So to say that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and to make sure we understand that, by him saying, you won't get to the Father any other way. I'm it. Not a good way, but the only way. Making that statement, offensive then, offensive now. But we serve a God who is the one true and only God. Not because we deserve to know the one true God, but because he loves us. And because he loves us, he sent his son to die for us. And there's a great message there that we need to tell to the world about this salvation that he gives through his son. Jesus is the way to the Father. So that's one reason why we know that he is his Father's son. Another thing is because he gave the word from the Father. He was the way to the Father, and he gave the word from the Father. What he said, Jesus said it, was from his Father. The things that he did, they were authenticated by miracles and signs and wonders, and they authenticated his claims as to who he was. If you remember in the first verse of the Gospel of John, some of you probably know it by heart. John says this, in the beginning was the what? And the Word was? And the Word was? Not a God, but God, right? He was from the beginning. He was the Word. He is the Word. So we know that even from the beginning of what John writes here, in regard to the ministry of Christ and who Christ is, which is basically called Christology, the study of Christ. In his Christology, John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You see, there's this tremendous inseparability of the Lord Jesus Christ from the Word of God. He's the living Word of God. I have a real hard time separating the Word of God from God himself, because it is his Word. It is inerrant, inspired, and infallible. Jesus Christ is that and was that living Word. Now, that's rather hard to understand, but we understand it to be true because Jesus said it, because it is in God's Word. So we've gone from exclusivity to inseparability. Jesus Christ not only gave that word from the Father, he was the Word. He was the way, and he is and was the Word. Thirdly, though, he did the work of the Father. So he was the way to the Father, he gave the word from the Father, and he did the work of the Father. He obeyed his Father. When Jesus became a man, he condescended to do so. The Son of God, God Almighty, second person of the divine triune Godhead, just as much God as the Father and the Holy Spirit being just as much God as the Son and the Father being just as much God as the Son and the Spirit. Not three gods, not three unequal, co-equal they are, three persons in one God. Now again, there's something still very mysterious about that, but it is absolute truth. That is the God we serve. And so when Jesus Christ, the Son of God, emptied himself of his divine privileges and became one of us, he condescended to that level. He actually became a man, was conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary. We understand that he grew up, and we see a picture of him being obedient from his parents' perspective by taking him on the eighth day to be circumcised. We also see him at the age of 12. What do we remember about Jesus at the age of 12? What did he say? He said, didn't you know, Mom, I'd be about my Father's business? That's what he came to do, even at the age of 12. And then he grew up and began this ministry, and he was perfect in every way. But you know why he was perfect? Because he obeyed his heavenly Father. And he looked up to him like you and I should look up to him. So you say, how does God look to God? Well, because the Son of God became the Son of Man, and he looked up to God, and he depended upon God. He said, I'm all about God. I'm telling you what God's told me to tell you, and I'm simply obeying God. He did so perfectly. We haven't done that, have we? we fail God miserably most days of our lives, maybe every day of our lives. But you see, Jesus Christ obeyed the Father. He authenticated who He was. And then He would, as He tells us, He would enable us to do the same. As a matter of fact, this is what Jesus said. I love this. He said, you'll do greater works. You'll do greater works. Jesus Christ walked this earth and He preached the good news. He was one person, right? Now, you get into the omnipresence of God there and God being, Jesus being in the flesh and all of that. But Jesus was a man. He walked this earth. He couldn't be in Africa and America at the same time. Not as a man. So He spoke and He preached. But then He left behind this great message and the power to spread it around the world as He sent His Holy Spirit. And we thereby have the ability to do more and more as we together propagate the blessed message. That's what He's talking about when He said that we can do greater works. We have more capability as God's people, although we're not omnipresent. We can only be at one place at one time. But if we work hard enough and we spread it out far enough, we can get the gospel all over this globe and we can propagate the message that Jesus saves. Yeah, we can do greater works. And He gave us that salvation message to spread across this world. So He did the work of the Father, and He enabled us to do works and even greater works than what He said He had done. Now, we're not greater than God. We're not God. But He enabled us, is Him through us always. What a responsibility. What an awesome task. So we understand that He was the way to the Father and that He gave the word from the Father and He did the work of the Father. That's what we see here as He speaks to Thomas, as He speaks to Philip, as He speaks to His disciples, as He gives them that perspective about His relationship to His Father. He is so that we are. Let me explain that. He is, was who He was, and is who He is, so that we are who we are because of what He did. We know that He died for us and rose from the grave. We know that He lived for us and set the example. We know that He did all these things for us, fulfilling God's wonderful plan of salvation, which is awesome and overwhelming and mind-boggling every time you think of it. And we should often do so. But we know because of that, we can be like Him. And we can be thus like our Heavenly Father because we are His representatives. So He is, so that we are. But the question is today, as we celebrate this Father's Day, as we think about Jesus being the ultimate Son and God being the ultimate Father, what about you? And this is a question for men, of course, but also for everyone. What about you? This message today, this Father's Day message, was intended to do two things. It was to evangelize and to equip. And I hope that all messages that I would preach or any preacher would preach would do just that, would be to evangelize and to equip. To evangelize because there may be somebody either downstairs in either room or up here who really does not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their lives. And I know that we're down in number, but still, when there's just a few people together, there's always that possibility of somebody not knowing Jesus, not being saved. So any message that I would preach would hopefully have some element of evangelism in it, in that we are reaching out to you to say to you that Jesus Christ came, that Jesus Christ died, that Jesus Christ was a substitute for you, that He suffered God's wrath for you, that He paid the price for you, and that you can be saved as you call upon Him, surrendering your life to Him. You can be a born-again child of God. That is the gospel message that we preach. And I pray that anybody here today, under the sound of my voice, who has not come to that point in their lives, would even today say, I am ready. I'm ready to come to Christ. I'm ready to be a part of this great family. I'm ready to be a child of the King, a child of the Heavenly Father. But for you fathers who do know the ultimate Father, It's a message for you to have, and for you women and boys and girls as well, a message for you to have so that you can share the gospel with the world that our Father sent the Son, and that Son paid the price for you, and that He rose, and that He lives, and that He'll save your soul, that we'll have that message in our hearts and herald that as we imitate our Father. That's part of imitating our Father, is making sure that we represent Him well. That's part of obeying our Father, is giving His gospel to a lost world around us, so that when people look at us, even if they say, "I don't want any of that," and there will be those, if you witness the gospel of Jesus Christ, who will stiff-arm you. They will reject your message, and sometimes they'll do it in a rude way. Sometimes they're not very friendly about it at all. And we may see more and more of that as we move forward as a country, because you know as well as I do that there are a lot of things that are just spinning out of control. Just absolute chaos. And sometimes I don't think we really realize how this is happening and what's happening in our world, what's happening in our nation. Things that happen here in America are being mirrored, according to the news, in other countries. Things that are specific to America are being mirrored in other countries. There are protests in other countries such as Paris and in the country of Scotland and in London, England. There are protests in those areas in regard to what's happening in America. And I say, why? Somebody said it well today. It's the work of the devil. It's the influence of Satan. And you see this around the world. All that's coming at us, folks, we're in the middle of a mess. And I say that not to be a conspiracy theorist, or I don't say that to be a pessimist. I say that so that the church can say, hey, that's true. We need to face the truth and stand up and be counted, even if we're by ourselves in doing so. Go out on that limb. If you're the only one on the limb, go out there and represent your Father. We're living in a day and time where that's essential. So that my prayer is that when the world looks at you, whether you're a father or mother or child or whatever you may be, man, woman, boy, or girl, they'll look at you and they'll say, he is his Father's Son. Lord, help us today. If there be anybody in this place who needs to know Jesus, touch their hearts and lives and bring them to you. And I pray that you would bring them to me so that I can know about what you've done in their lives. Help them to know that they can come to me anytime and tell me that they've received you as Savior, that you have saved their soul, Lord. And I pray that you would do that work in their lives. But for your people, God, I pray that you would once again just prod us and stir us and bring us to where we need to be as your people. Whether it's Father's Day or any other day, whether it's the Lord's Day or any day of the week, God, help us, Lord, to come to you humbly, giving ourselves totally to you so that we can be like you. So that people can say of us, they are their father, son, or daughter, because they look and act just like Jesus. Help us to represent you well, Lord, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand with me today? Let me just remind you once again that if you've not filled the deacon ballot out, for the deacon election, a nominating ballot actually, that you would do that before you leave today. And there should be some offering plates set up in the foyer for you to drop yours in. So make sure you drop it in an offering receptacle there so that you can your nomination can be counted, okay? So make sure you do that when you leave today, all right? All right, I want you all to have a great day, and I pray that you fathers would have a great Father's Day, all right? Hey, listen, you children and wives, make him feel like a king today, amen? Amen, that's right. You going to do it? Amen. All right, well, maybe you will. Josh, will you dismiss us in a word of prayer, brother?
Father, we thank you for another opportunity to come in your house this morning. Lord, We continue to pray, Lord, that you would be with each and every person here. Lord, that you would be with our nation. Lord, that you would use this as an opportunity to point people to you. We pray that you would, Lord, give us a burden and a desire to see people come to know you. Lord, we pray that you be with each and every father here today. Bless them on this Father's Day. We thank you for being our Heavenly Father and for all you do for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.